Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Happy Friday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Is it just me, or has it felt like it's been about 17 years since the last Packers game? It feels like forever. I'm just ready for anything at this point. Packers, Bengals, I will say my least favorite type of game, the one where you're favored by 14 and a half points. I was talking about this the other day, but it just feels like nothing good can happen. If you win by 31, nothing, yeah, you won, but then everyone's just like, well, it's the Bengals. They're the worst team in football. If you win by like 14, it's like, ah, that was, you know, you didn't even cover the spread. You bear. And if you win by anything less than 14 and it's close at the end, it's like, well, that's a disappointing result and you won the game. And then, of course, if you lose or tie or anything like that, it's completely catastrophic. So my least favorite types of games, but guess what? We don't get very many of these. We get 17 guaranteed in any given season, and I'm going to enjoy every second of it. I will be in the stands this upcoming week. I will not be in the press box. So looking forward to this one in the stands, and hopefully the Packers can come away with a big win. We've got a lot to get into today. Two main topics I'm going to be discussing: the updated injury report, including the latest on Brandon McManus, and then Romeo Doubs. Should Green Bay sign him to a long-term contract extension? We'll talk about that as well. Before we get there, I want to shout out Rod Thompson for becoming a brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member. Really appreciate that, Rod. Make sure to check out those memberships when you have a chance. As always, no requirement, right? Just, you know, first of all, thank you so much for being here. Second of all, if you can, like, subscribe, comment, give those five-star reviews if you're on an audio podcast channel. Those things help the channel a ton. If you're on the audio, hit that little, automatic download button, right? To make sure you're getting those automatic downloads. If you're on video, make sure on YouTube that you're hitting that notification button so that you're getting notified anytime there's a new video. Because as you know, there's a lot of stuff that comes out through the course of the week. And while most of it's pretty routine, some of it can come out when you're not expecting it. So make sure to add that to your to-do list as well. All right, let's get into our Packers conversations and topics for today. I want to start with Thursday Night Football because this one does certainly, or at least it could very well, affect Green Bay with the Eagles picking up their second consecutive loss. And this just kind of goes along with what I've been saying. This league is really freaking hard. Every single time you feel like, oh, we know what's going to happen next. The Eagles will go into New York again and pick up a big win against the Giants and so on and so forth. The Eagles go into New York and Jackson Dart and Cam Scadaboo and these rookie Giants tear apart the defending Super Bowl champions out of nowhere. And I will say this, when things go bad in Philly, they seem to go really bad. If you remember, you know what, before the Super Bowl year, they had that great start to the season and then there was drama and the entire season just went completely south. Like they couldn't win a game the rest of the season. It just went completely south in the blink of an eye and they could not get it back. And last year, everything went great and it was 2-2. There was a little bit of nerves at the beginning, but after that it went great and they won the Super Bowl. And it just kind of feels like they're having those, you know, the self-inflicted wounds and they're, you know, kind of imploding from within a little bit again. I'm going to be really interested to see how this Eagles team responds from here on out. But just going back again, I know nobody's thrilled with 2-1-1 so far. It's not exactly where anyone wanted the Packers to be through four games. It's a bizarro way to get to 2-1-1, winning against arguably the two toughest teams, losing to the worst of the four teams and tying the second worst. It's a very weird situation, but that's how they got there. That's where they are right now. That's who they are. And now they're going to have to obviously navigate this next quarter of the season, and more specifically just Cincinnati this week, hopefully pick up that win. But it's just another very harsh and stark reminder that this league can humble you in a hurry. And even the defending Super Bowl champions that started 3-0 have now lost two consecutive games to Denver and the New York Giants respectively. And now it kind of makes a couple of those games later in the season for Green Bay look a little more interesting, right? Maybe Philly doesn't look quite as daunting, even though that game is in Green Bay and you always felt like Green Bay had clearly more than a chance in that one. But that one maybe doesn't look quite as tough. That Giants game on the road, we just saw what happened to Philly. Don't just automatically take your Sharpie and put a W on that game. that Giants team a little bit scrappy, and with Abdul Carter and that rookie class of, you know, including Carter, but Scadaboo and Jackson Dart, that's a different Giants team right now. So we'll see if they can continue after this game and maybe pick up some momentum, but it certainly changes the calculus of the, at least on paper, of a couple of those Packers games as we look a little bit further down the road. Meanwhile, a quick transaction note. The Tennessee Titans, who claimed Brant Banks last week off of waivers, now released him, and he is now a waiver claim potential either for Green Bay or for other teams. Or if he does not get claimed, maybe Green Bay can get him back on the practice squad. It'll be interesting. Would Banks want to go back to Tennessee's practice squad, the team that claimed him? He was only there for about a week. Or would he want to go back to Green Bay's? Would he want to go somewhere else? He gets his choice, but he'd have to clear waivers first, or potentially Green Bay could claim him back, put him back on the 53, which when we get to the injury report here in a second, may not be the worst idea as we look at where this offensive line is at in the injury report once again. So let's get into that right away. As far as the players that did not practice on Thursday, those three players include Anthony Belton, Devontae Wyatt, and Rashid Walker. We pretty much know Belton's not going to play. High ankle sprain. It's going to take a little bit of time. I'd be pretty surprised if he was all of a sudden ready to go this week. So we can kind of put that one to the side. Devontae Wyatt did not practice again. It's a week to week thing. He hasn't practiced by Thursday. I'm not saying, again, I have no inside information here. I'm not saying he won't play for sure, but it would certainly lean in the direction right now that Wyatt will not play this upcoming week. We'll probably see the four primary defensive tackles that are remaining, all active, including Warren Brinson for his very first time. Then Rashid Walker, a brand new, did not participate, and that's not exactly what you want to see along the offensive line. Hopefully he can bounce back on Friday and give it a go on Friday, and we get a better injury report on that. But that is a little bit concerning. We'll talk about what that could mean for the offensive line in just a moment, but a key one to keep an eye on that Friday injury report. And then as we get closer to the game, when they set their inactives, or maybe we hear from LaFleur on Friday that Rashid's going to be a no-go, or that he's going to be a go, we'll have to wait and see, but not an ideal situation at left tackle with Rashid Walker. Limited in practice were Aaron Banks, Kingsley Enagbare, Nate Hobbs, who seems to be still in concussion protocol, Brandon McManus, more on that momentarily, Jacob Monk, Zach Tom, Christian Watson, and Savion Williams. And then really quick, full participants were Tucker Kraft, Jordan Love, and Jordan Morgan. I want to start with a couple of the limited ones here. When Matt was asked about Zach Tom in his press conference, go back and rewatch that if you have the chance. There was definitely a hesitation there of where, how Zach got through the practice and the padded practice and things like that. Now, it's great that he went out to practice again and was limited on Thursday, but when he was asked about his, you know, participation in the team activities and things on Wednesday, again, Matt didn't give much, but his almost like no comment slash just the way he kind of navigated that answer was, I thought, a little bit telling. And it almost felt like there was maybe, again, this is pure speculation on my part, so I don't ever really want to speculate about injuries. Just the way that he answered, I'll just put it this way. The way that he answered it gave me the indication that maybe they weren't super confident with how that turned out or anything. Like, I don't want to say setback or anything. I have no idea, right? But just the way that he answered it just raised some red flags for me of like, oh my goodness, is he not going to be able to go? And when you look at that offensive line all of a sudden, if Zach Tom and Rashid Walker can't go and Anthony Belton can't go, hopefully Aaron Banks can, right? That would be a very important player. So your offensive line in that situation is likely Jordan Morgan at left tackle, Aaron Banks at left guard, Elton Jenkins at center, Sean Ryan at right guard, and Darian Kennard at right tackle. If that's the case, and you can probably get by with that starting five, right? But if that's the case and Rashid is out, Zach Thomas is out, and Anthony Belton is out, your only backups on the offensive line are now Donovan Jennings is your next guy up, and then you have your two practice squad players that you'd have to call both of them up in Dalton Cooper and Lasita Smith. That's all you have. You're down to your one backup player on the 53, unless Jacob Monk is ready to go this week. I guess that's one other possibility. If he gets activated in time, or if they claim Brant Banks back, I guess that's another possibility. The moral of the story here is that your offensive line could be very much lacking in depth. You're down to two backup offensive tackles. You're down to left guard who has been injured and is just banking his second start in Green Bay. And, you know, I guess you have Sean Ryan and Elton Jenkins remaining, but it's not exactly your preferred offensive line, and you have no depth whatsoever. So Zach Tom, Rashid Walker, two really key players to keep an eye on. And I guess to a lesser extent, Jacob Monk. And then, do they make any other moves along the offensive line? It's going to be really interesting to see how that offensive line shapes up. But to say the least, they're not in a great spot right now. And hopefully I'm just wrong about Zach Tom and he's good to go, which would solidify a lot of that line. And hopefully Rashid Walker we get good news on Friday, because if all of a sudden Tom and Walker are good to go and you've got Banks, Jenkins, and Ryan, and all of a sudden you've got Jordan Morgan backing up and you've got Kennard backing up, and then Donovan Jennings is your third, right? Like, then you feel much better, not only about the starters, but the depth of that offensive line as well. So these next few days could decide a lot as to how this offensive line looks going into the game against Cincinnati, of course, in Green Bay. The other one is Brandon McManus. Now, we got a little bit of a scare at the beginning of the day because Matt LaFleur said that there is, quote, major concern with Brandon McManus, and they're working through different options of what they can do coming up this week. Then we find out, actual practice itself, that McManus is really not doing much. He's listed at limited, but it didn't seem like he was doing much, at least when the media was out there. Then we find out later from McManus that he says he feels better today and that he's going to be kicking on Sunday. All right, so let's walk through this for a second, because I think there's like a feel of like, all right, what just happened? Matt LaFleur said there's major concern. And I should mention as well, in between this, they worked out two kickers, Greg Joseph, who was in camp last year and ultimately got cut, and then Lucas Havrisik, who has spent time, I believe, with the Rams and I think the Ravens as well. But he was also in for a visit. As of now, they have not signed either of those kickers yet. But you had a day where Matt said there's major concern. You tried out two kickers. He did not really do anything in the portion that was open to the media at practice. But then McManus says, yep, I'm going to kick on Sunday. So what does this all mean? I think a lot of this stuff can be true all at the same time. The one thing I will say is that players are not always the best, narrators when it comes to their injury timelines and when they're going to be back and able to play. They're not, you can't always trust them. And in this case, it could be that he's just totally right, that he's going to be out there on Sunday and ready to kick. But he might feel that way, and the Packers medical staff and coaching staff may feel otherwise and may sometimes protect the player from themselves and say, I love that you want to play, but we're not risking you in the long term. Sorry, we're going with another option here. That could be part of it. It could also be that it's trending right now that Brandon McManus is going to be able to play on Sunday, but it could be more of a game time decision. Or there could just be enough concern with the injury where these things kind of flare up. And if that's the case, you could get to Saturday and Saturday it tightens up or flares up and he says, hey, I don't think I'm going to be able to go. Or you get to Sunday and you try it out in pregame and he says, yep, I can't do it. And that's why I think Matt is saying, yes, there's major concern and they're looking at contingency plans because they don't want to get caught without a kicker. That would be a brutal scenario. And the reason that that matters so much is, let's say you get to pregame on Sunday and you don't have a kicker on the 53 besides McManus, you can't call somebody up on Sunday. You can't add somebody to the active roster on Sunday. That move has to be made either on Friday or Saturday. Those are when those moves would need to get made and you have to have a plan in place. So even though McManus is saying, yep, I'm good to go, I'm going to kick, if there's any concern that he can't, you have to have a contingency plan. Now, they've got McNamee on the International Pathway Program. That's one option. They could add another kicker to the practice squad if they felt like they needed to and didn't want to go with McNamee, an International Pathway Program practice squad player, and wanted somebody a little bit more experienced. They have two open spots on the active roster. What they could do is, if they feel 1,000,000% confident that McManus is able to go, then they probably just don't do anything. Like, they just let it go, right? If there's some like very slight concern that like maybe a 1 in 100 chance he doesn't go, then you probably just leave it up to McNamee. And then on Saturday, you make him one of your players that is, activated for game day. And then if you don't need him, you just deactivate him on game day. And if you're really concerned about it, you probably sign either Greg Joseph or Lucas Havrisik, put them on the active roster or the practice squad, one of the two, but they have those two open, you know, roster spots right now. So that's probably the easiest way to go about it. Just cut out the practice squad and then the call up, just put them on the 53. And then if you get to Sunday and you don't need them, you just make them inactive for game day. It's a small 1/17th of a contract cost for a week to do something like that. And just to have the insurance policy, right? Of like, hey, we have a kicker if we need it. So it all makes sense, right? That McManus feels like he's going to be able to kick, but Matt LaFleur and the Packers are still like, hey, we need to have a contingency plan here. And there's concern and we got to get kickers in the building and so on and so forth. It makes sense that all of this fits the exact way that we heard about it. So I know when Matt says, oh, there's a major problem. And then McManus says, actually, I'm good to kick on Sunday. You're like, well, where's the disconnect here? That's, I think, why there maybe feels like there's a disconnect when there's actually not. It's just making sure that you've got the contingency plan in place just in case McManus has a flare up or a tightening or whatever it might be on either Saturday or Sunday this upcoming week. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, you and I make decisions every single day, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. So don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. Green Bay had a bye in week 5, but it's time to get back in the swing of things as Green Bay set to take on Cincinnati in week 6. Not only that, we have some marquee matchups with Tampa hosting San Fran and KC hosting Detroit. So it's a great time to get back on Prize Picks and get your winning started today. This week, I'm going with a big game from Josh Jacobs, a bounce back performance from Justin Herbert, and a Josh Allen beatdown in Atlanta. Here's the best part. Prize Picks is the only app that offers stacks, meaning you can pick the same player up to 3 times in the same lineup. Want to pick more on Josh Allen passing yards, more on Josh Allen rushing yards, more on Josh Allen touchdowns? Now you can pick all of them in the same lineup only on Prize Picks. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks, it's good to be right. What's going on, everyone? I am so excited to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've been using before a big night out. It's called Prealcohol. ZBiotics Prealcohol Prebiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered prebiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Now, pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. So just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Listen, I get it. I was on the fence about pre-alcohol initially myself, but I've now used it for bachelor parties, fall cookouts, and at a huge tailgating event, and I'm telling you, it's the real deal. And guess what? Football is here, which means more opportunities to get out there with your friends and celebrate the season. So before that backyard barbecue brew, post-touchdown mixer, or cocktail by the campfire, don't forget your ZBiotics pre-alcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great and ready to take on the next day and all that football season has to offer. So go to ZBiotics.com/Packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use code Packaday at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money-back guarantee. So if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/Packaday and use the code Packaday at checkout for 15% off. Make sure to support our partners and use that code Packaday. All right, that brings us to our main topic for today, which is Romeo Doubs. And should the Packers be working on a long-term extension for Romeo to make him a long-term Packer and get him in the fold for next year and probably a couple years beyond that as well? It's an interesting topic. And I think if you really look at this, you can make a pretty strong argument for yes, and I think you can make a pretty strong argument for no. So we're going to do both of those things today, and I'll let you guys decide. Here's what we know right now. Romeo Doubs so far this season, in 4 games, has 13 catches for 179 yards and 4 touchdowns. All right? 4 touchdowns, good. 179 yards on 13 catches, good. But not a ton of yards, not a ton of catches, but he has been certainly a red zone threat for Green Bay so far. Has a 63.1 PFF grade so far. That is the 4th best wide receiver grade on the team. Now, Jaden Reed, very minimal time, right, that he played, had an 89.9 grade. Malik Heath has a 75.4. Dontavian Wicks has a 64.5. And then Romeo Doubs has a 63.1. He is the 59th highest graded wide receiver. It eliminates some players who have barely played, right? But 59th best wide receiver per PFF so far this season. So you're looking at 59th, a quality number two, right? Not a top, you know, one guy, and I guess more of like a bottom tier number two, but somewhere in that like number two wide receiver range is kind of what you're looking at. For me, I'm at a plus 0.95 grade, fourth highest grade on offense so far, and the top wide receiver through 4 weeks of play. That's where I have him. PFF has him again. I think he was like the eighth highest graded player on the team on offense. And then again, fourth on wide receiver. So somewhere in that range. What he's on pace for so far is 55 catches for 761 yards and 17 touchdowns. Now the 17 touchdowns we can probably say is not legitimate. He's not going to catch a touchdown every single week. At least you wouldn't think so, right? But he's on pace for about 55 catches, 761 yards. Let's just say he gets to 8, 9, 10 touchdowns, somewhere in that range, which I think is fair based on the fact that he has four already. It's kind of right around, you know, where he's kind of been. Last year, he had 46 catches for 601. The year before that, he had 59 for 674 and 8. So his best season of his career, 59 catches, 674 and 8 touchdowns. And he's on pace for 55 catches, 761. So about 90 more yards than his best season and about four fewer catches than his best season. He's on pace for more than those eight touchdowns that he had in that year, but he's right around there. So long story short, I know it feels like so far, especially with those four touchdowns, that Romeo Doubs is breaking out and he's having one of his best seasons. The truth is he's kind of playing like the Romeo Doubs that we've seen over the course of his career so far. Then you have to get into the idea of like, all right, what is his contract worth? Two names I think kind of make sense here. Khalil Shakir, same draft class in Buffalo, but he's coming off a season when he signed his contract extension of 76 catches, 821 yards, and four touchdowns. Touchdowns are a little bit tougher because you can have, you know, you can have an increase in touchdowns or a decrease in touchdowns. Sometimes those are a little bit, I don't want to say lucky, but they kind of come and go from time to time. Romeo is clearly a red zone threat, so it should be valued in here in this conversation, right? But Shakir, 76 for 821. The best of Doubs was 59, 674, and he's on pace for 55, 761. It's close. It's in comparison. It's in that conversation, right? I think most people logically would say that the contract that Doubs should be going for was the Khalil Shakir contract, 4 years, $53 million. With $30 million guaranteed. That seems about right. Rashad Bateman would be the other one. Bateman came off a season where he had 45 catches, 756 yards, a 16.8 yard average, and 9 touchdowns. Again, if you're looking at Doubs, what he's on pace for, 10 more catches, almost the exact same yardage, not as many yards per catch, but you know more touchdowns is what he's on pace for right now, but very similar to Rashad Bateman. Bateman signed a 3-year, $36.75 million extension, $20 million guaranteed, but it was an extension on top of years he already had, which isn't exactly what the situation that Romeo Doubs will be going into. So it's a little bit different, not exactly apples to apples. Spotrac, meanwhile, has Romeo Doubs on a 4-year, $63.3 million deal next year if he were to hit free agency. That's their projection for him. So somewhere between Khalil Shakir's 4-year, 53, Rashad Bateman's 3-year 37, basically, and Spotrac's 4-year 63. It's somewhere in that range. And the question becomes, is that the type of deal that you want to give Romeo Doubs to keep him in Green Bay? Let's start with the reasons that a contract does in fact make sense. The first thing is that while Green Bay has a lot of receivers under contract in 2025 and in 2026, more on that momentarily, Green Bay has no long-term money in the wide receiver position right now. Christian Watson has a 1-year extension into 2026. Jaden Reed on his rookie contract. Dontavian Wicks is on his rookie contract, as are Savion Williams and Matthew Golden. Everyone else is still on the rookie contract besides Watson, who got a 1-year extension that's pretty team-friendly. So they have not given that contract yet. If they feel like Doubs is the guy that they want to give that to, they absolutely can, just based on the fact that they haven't done it at any of the other wide receiver position, like the wide receivers yet, right? So they haven't given out that $15 million a year contract. Everything's either pretty reasonable or on rookie contracts so far. So that's reason number one. Number two is he's playing really well. He does feel like he is sort of Jordan's go-to wide receiver. He's great in the red zone. And while maybe the numbers still match what he's done in other seasons, it feels like he's playing some of the best football of his career right now. That's a good reason why you start talking about a potential extension and keeping him in the fold. The next thing is, we live in a salary cap era right now where you can find the money. There's certainly just not a lot of reason to let good players leave in free agency right now. Now, there's always a trade-off. You know, if you want to spend that money elsewhere, it's not unlimited resources. It's not unlimited money. The cap's not fake. There are repercussions for going above your means and borrowing from the future, which is what they kind of have to do here. But you can make it work at the same time. And so if this is just a player that you feel is a really important cog to your team and you don't want to see them go, you just simply pay them. And the worst thing that you can do is allow a good player to leave in free agency, go to another team, and just lose them. You would get a comp pick in return in all likelihood, but if they're good enough where you just want to keep them, just keep them. Figure out the rest later and keep that player in the fold, because it doesn't really do you a ton of good and add real, you know, any real value right now with the way that the free agency and the way that the salary cap is set up, especially with it expected to go up over time. You can kind of just keep the guys that you have if you want to keep them. And that's where it kind of is with Romeo Doubs. And then the last reason is the price could very well go up. If Romeo continues to play well, and with the expected increase in the cap, the price for Romeo could go up, especially if he hits the open market in free agency, right? So if you're worried about that, you want to keep him in the fold and you don't want that price to get higher, you would likely want to get him signed now before he has any sort of further breakout and adds more and more money to that cost as you get, again, closer and closer to free agency. So there's a lot of reasons that you would want to keep him. Again, no long-term contracts at wide receiver. He's playing good football. Seems to be Jordan's go-to wide receiver. You can find the money. You don't want to let good free agents leave, and the price could only go up from here. Lots of good reasons why it would make sense, right? There's also plenty of reasons why it doesn't make sense. The first thing I would say is, what is your rush right now? Yes, the cost could go up, but it could also come down. You just don't know what type of season Romeo is going to have. And I would be much more likely to say, hey, let this thing play out. Yeah, if he balls out and plays the best of his career and looks amazing, yeah, that price is going to go up a little bit. But I'm more willing to let that happen, and let's just see it. And if he shows like, hey, I'm a true number one guy, and if you're going to let me leave, you're crazy. All right, we'll get to that point. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But let's see him go out and prove it first. Especially in a situation, by the way, where the rest of the season, with Christian Watson coming back, you have Doubs, you have Golden, you have Savion Williams, you have Malik Heath. Now you have Christian Watson. You've got Dontavian Wicks. And at some point, Jayden Reed's going to come back as well. You've got a ton of mouths to feed at wide receiver, and his playing time, his targets, all of that could come down because Watson and eventually Reed are going to come back with where things have been at already, where Reed's been out and Watson's been out. Now you're adding more mouths to feed in that offense. So there's a good chance where his productivity actually comes down. And if maybe it doesn't get cheaper, but it at least doesn't get more exorbitant as time goes on. And I want to see, is this a different Romeo Doubs? Can he put up huge numbers in a full season? Or does it just kind of plateau again and it ends up being another 59, 46 catch season for 600 some yards and 7 or 8 touchdowns? Not bad, but is it something that you're like, hey, this is nice, but it's not something we can't find or don't already have, and we want to go maybe in a different direction? I would be more willing to say, hey, let's let this play out. And then more importantly too is, what does this wide receiver room look like? When you get Watson back, when you get Jayden Reed back, and when everyone is hopefully, fingers crossed, actually healthy, does Romeo Doubs stand out as actually better than the other receivers? Right now, with no Jayden Reed and no Christian Watson, it's like, yeah, Romeo's the go-to guy. But if all of a sudden you come back and now you're looking at Watson and Reed and maybe Wicks and a little bit of Doubs and Golden, and it doesn't really seem like Doubs is any more spectacular than any of the other ones, you look at it probably a little differently and say, right, is that something we really need back? Or do we have enough mouths already in this offense that we don't necessarily need to have? It's not a must have. It's a nice to have, but it's not a requirement. So I would let the season play out to see what this wide receiver core actually looks like when everyone's out there, even just with the return of Christian Watson, and see if Dobbs does continue to stand out. And if he does, great. And then you look at that extension at that time. We'll be right back. The next thing is that the middle class of wide receiver doesn't actually exist all that much. It's like Khalil Shakir and Rashad Bateman. And there's a couple other names in there. Jerry Judy's kind of in there, but that you kind of have the extremes. You're like 20 mil or more, or like less than 10 million. That middle class doesn't exist that much. So you have to like decide, is Romeo Dobbs worth being in that group of receivers? And I think he probably is, to be honest. I think he's probably right around there. I feel much more comfortable with the Rashad Bateman version of this. Like, if you told me they got him on a 3-year, $37 million extension, I'd be like, hell yeah, that would be a perfect extension for Romeo. If it's closer to the 4-year, 63 that Spotrac is saying, to me, that's a jump too high. The extra year and the extra $27 million on that is quite a bit different, right? An extra year for 27. Now, maybe that's a fake year for $27 million, whatever, and it actually amounts to a 3-year 37, but it looks like a 4-year 63. Absolutely. Go for it. Have your extra fun adding a fake year onto the end of that so the deal sounds better to the agent. Go for it. That's fine. But if it's anywhere near that 3-year 37, I'm probably a little bit more for it. But, you know, do you actually need to spend the money on a middle tier wide receiver where, again, right now in the NFL, that middle class of wide receiver doesn't really exist? The next thing I will say is in 2026, right now, if Dobbs walks out the room, right? Dobbs walks and he's a Jaguar next year, a Colt or whatever. A, you get a comp pick back, but B, are you really concerned about the wide receiver room? You've got Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, Matthew Golden, Savion Williams, and spoiler, they're going to probably draft a wide receiver in the draft next year because they're going to want to be prepared because the following year, Watson, Reed, and Wicks are all free agents. So they're going to want to make sure that they've got a couple options that are available as younger players. They'll have Golden and Williams already, but it wouldn't surprise me if third or fourth round pick to get another body in that room to get ready was a wide receiver next year. So you've now got Watson, Reed, Wicks, Golden, Williams, and a draft pick on your receiver room next year. That's not even including Dobbs. If you have Dobbs, now you're up to 7. That gets a little bit complicated. Are you going to keep 7 wide receivers? And that's not if we get our normal, you know, undrafted free agent wide receiver that's balling out that you want to keep too and things like that. We'll see. But like, it feels like more of a nice to have than a must have at this point in time. The other thing is you have more important free agents coming up next year to sign. You have Quay Walker. You have, you know, Devontae signed his 5th-year option, but that's an extension you probably want to look at. You have offensive linemen like Rashid Walker and Sean Ryan that could potentially be in that conversation depending on how they play the rest of the year. You have a $20 million decision to make on Elgton Jenkins. And Tucker Kraft is really, you know, to the point where you want to probably extend him for big money as well. So do you want to put that money in, you know, in Romeo? Or do you want to put it in Quay, Devontae, Tucker Kraft, maybe an offensive lineman? Those are real questions that you kind of want to ask as well. So it of all the free agents coming up, I'm not sure that Romeo would even be on the top of the list of players that you're focusing on an extension for right now. I think Quay would probably be right now at the top of it. But again, giving those contract extensions to Wyatt and to Tucker Kraft certainly have to be in the conversation as well. So that's where I'm kind of at right now is there's plenty of reasons for, which we went over, and the ones against, again, let the season play out. How does he play? The middle class of wide receiver doesn't exist. You have 5 at least and probably 6 if you draft a wide receiver next year in that wide receiver room, even without Romeo Dobbs in 2026. And you have other free agents to sign. There's a lot of reasons not to do this deal as well. My final verdict here, and I'm curious on yours, would you sign him to one of those deals? Would you sign him to the Khalil Shakir deal? Would you sign him to the 4-year, $63 million that Spotrac is saying? I would say ultimately no. And I'm not saying don't do it eventually. I'm just saying my verdict here is not a no in totality, but a no for right now. Take more of a wait and see approach. See what your wide receivers do. Does Matthew Golden take a jump? Does Savion Williams take a jump? Does Watson look amazing? Does Jaden Reed come back looking amazing? Does Wicks take a step? Like, you just have a lot of other unknowns. And then where is Romeo by the end of this year? Is he the true undisputed number one receiver and Love continues to go to him over and over again? If so, it's probably just a no-brainer. Bring him back. Don't take that player away from Jordan Love at that standpoint. But if he just is like, I don't know, you know, the third or fourth best wide receiver on the team, or just kind of blends in with everyone else, all right, let him walk, pick up the comp pick, and don't lose too much sleep over it. I think that's probably the right direction to take at this time. I will say this. If you told me sometime this week or next week or whatever, Romeo Doubs got signed to an extension, I would understand it. He's playing good football. You don't want to let good players walk. You like to keep those in the locker room. And Jordan does have that connection with him. Would make total sense. And even if it was a 4-year 63, despite I think it being a little bit of an overspend and maybe already having the receivers that you need in the room, I would totally get it. And if you told me they let him explore free agency, he found a better deal on the outside, and Green Bay just got the comp pick in return, and they rolled next year with Watson, Reed, Wicks, Golden, Williams, and a draft pick, I would totally understand that as well. It's a really interesting dynamic. It's a really interesting conversation. Hit me up in the comments with what you think Green Bay should do. I think they should wait, but I would understand both sides very easily. That's all I got for you today. Thank you so much for joining me. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Huang, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkelstinkle, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Gonzusa, Alexander Newell, Dan Miller, Bill Reinhardt, and Richard Morales. Appreciate you guys a ton. I will see you very soon. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.